Will you pray with me this morning as we get started? Spirit of God, would you unstick our ears and open our eyes so that we might hear and see what you have for us today? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Each semester here at the seminary, we set some time aside to pray for peace in the world. And in that context, we need to begin by saying something really honestly. We live in a world that knows how to wage war, right? Nations are organized for war. Resources, lots of them, are committed to war. People are trained for war. War is not accidental. It is intentional. And into a world like that that Isaiah lived in too, we hear these words from the prophet, in the last days, and then skipping ahead, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Obviously, Isaiah is not describing the world as it is, right? He is showing us the world as it will be. This that he's showing us is God's promised future. A world where the tools of violence, swords and spears, can be reshaped into tools of life, plowshares and pruning hooks. A world where conflict is no longer the default posture of humanity. A world where the nations are gathered not to fight but to worship the Lord. For us this morning, it's important that we hear something. This vision that Isaiah has is not something we can manufacture. We cannot bring about this vision on our own. But that doesn't mean we're passive spectators either. I really like how the theologian Jürgen Moltmann once wrote about the way God's future meets us. God's future is not just something distant out there that hasn't happened yet, but it's something that begins to draw us forward toward it, almost like it has a pull to it. Its beauty has a gravity, not forcing us, but drawing us toward its beauty. The world God will bring about, that world, by the work of the Holy Spirit, begins to call to us now. So how do we live in light of that call of the future beckoning us toward it? I like how Isaiah ends with an invitation. He says, O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Isaiah doesn't just leave the vision out there in the distance. He brings it into the present with an invitation. Come. Let us walk. Let us begin to be formed by the future that God has promised today. Today. May God's kingdom come today on earth as it is in heaven. And if this picture of peace is where God is taking the world, then we can begin to live like it's true now. That beautiful future can shape our attention. We can let it shape our prayers. We can let it shape the way we move through a world that's not yet at peace. Just because they're doing it doesn't mean we have to do it. I think our moms were right. Like, if they were going to jump off the bridge, would you do it? Apparently, we are going to jump off the bridge, I hear Tesha saying. But I still think we have to be careful. Sometimes when we hear peace, especially this part of the semester or in my family with a preschooler, peace is really just like some calm and some stillness, you know? Maybe it's just, can I just get through a week without too much stress? And maybe peace is like, when my anxiety's, you know, everywhere, would you just help me tuck it in, God? But the peace that Isaiah is talking about is so much bigger than that, right? It's not just peace in us, though that's lovely. It's peace in the world, cosmic peace. It's reconciliation where there's division. It's God's justice where there has been harm. It's restoration where there's deep brokenness. This is shalom. Everything brought back under the reign of God. his good, holy, gracious reign. And at the center of this idea of peace is not an idea. There's not a set of ideologies that's at the center of this peace, not politics, not activism, not even our best, you know, attempts to reason through what just war would look like or whatever. At the center of this version of peace is a person. His name is Jesus. In Jesus Christ, we see what peace looks like with skin on. He steps into a world that was marked by violence and division and struggles of power, even among his own disciples, and he doesn't mirror it back. He doesn't return violence for violence. He absorbs it. He refuses the logic of domination. Instead, he lays down his life. He breaks down dividing walls, not just between individuals, but between peoples. He makes a way for reconciliation. But he doesn't do it by ignoring sin. No, he deals with sin fully and finally. Hallelujah. At the cross, he takes what the world does at its worst and turns it into the place where God did his best. Jesus doesn't just announce peace. He embodies it. He accomplishes it. He is our peace. So what do we do with a vision like Isaiah 2 that Jesus embodies, but that's still yet to come, even though its beauty is beckoning us? What do we do? We pray. We pray not because we're naive. We pray not because we think some words that we say will fix the world. We pray because God's not finished yet. And prayer is one of the ways that we align ourselves with who God is and this vision of the future that he's put before us. The future's not just waiting for us. It's beckoning us. It's drawing us. So here's the invitation for this morning. If the world knows how to wage war, then the people of God must learn how to wage peace. We must learn how to wage peace, not by force, not by violence, not by power, not by control, but by prayer, by persistence, by presence, by having lives that are aligned with God's kingdom, his beautiful, perfect, good kingdom that is coming. The world now is not as the world will be. Amen? It's going to get better than this. And until that day, we pray. We ask God to act. We ask God to move. We ask God to empower peace to be brought about. We ask God to bring his peace in the places where it's not. We're going to have some moments of singing and praying, and we're going to start with the first verse of Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God now.